Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young boy! Continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. And Carter, I have one question for you. And that question is, how do you make an omelet?
You have to break a few eggs.
You gotta crack a few eggs, and that's what we're doing today. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. For people who don't take the time to view our Twitch streams, you're missing some premium lettuce out of Justin's chest right now.
You know, I was wearing a gray sweater today with like the douchebag Jay Cutler type sweater. So I had this underneath and then I just didn't feel the need to change out of it. So yeah, here's that chest hair. How do you like that, Twitch? Twitch world. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I
Twitch
like.
A world.
And I'm glad that you're showing off new parts of yourself on every Twitch stream. The Cavs are so very bad. I tweeted it, people saw it. I was hoping to get out of doing this pod with fatherhood.
And looming.
Real swing and a miss from that child.
Yeah. Do you want to fill the people in on what went down?
Oh yeah. Well, we went to the hospital Friday night. Doctor told us to, based on the contractions. We got there, they measured her for about 20 minutes, then said, well, let's see if you walk for a while and things will open up a little more in the most literal sense possible.
So we're in go time, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, we walked for an hour at like 2 a.m. At the hospital. And then they basically were like, you haven't gotten any more open, go home, which is good because we still have a baby, and that was Friday night. So in hindsight, let me tell you what, that walk was among the most boring walks of my life because it's an hour and you're only allowed on the maternity floor. So like we literally were just walking around an empty hallway with nothing to do for an hour. It was brutal. We ended up getting home around 3:45 a.m. That night. I remain not a father.
Yeah, that sounds pretty boring. Walking down an empty hallway in circles aimlessly is a pretty good metaphor for the Cavs right now. Just the ugliest loss of the season against the Sixers. Full disclosure, neither Carter or I watched that one. I was supposed to watch it this morning. I had a date night with the wife. But when I looked at it, there really wasn't a whole lot there. I watched a few highlights from our boy Garland.
Better than I could have mustered.
He kind of put up some points, and that's nice. Real disappointing effort coming after a close loss to the Magic, which I thought they were really competitive. There was some tough calls kind of down the stretch there. Colin Sexton missed goaltending, which was a 4-point swing. So, you know what? Overall, another winless week. And we also had some big news on multiple fronts. One, the story out of The Athletic that some of the Cavs players are not responding positively to John Boeheim. Many things cited just from – but the kind of – the Cole's notes on it is basically that they – feel like he's coaching the team like a college team, which was one of the primary concerns we had. And then shortly after that, and I'm sure these things are connected, news came out that the Cavs have Kevin Love on the trade market. So we broke down our initial thoughts on that Friday night in our premium feed. Check out Chase Down Premium if you feel the need to. We'd love the support there. But now that we've actually had some time to think about it here for the main pod, Carter, what's kind of your feelings other than the bleak reality of the Cavs?
Yeah. Well, first off, welcome Eric the Cat to the pod. He just busted his way into the door. Definitely. And the chat is already reacting. Say hi to Eric. That door doesn't close properly. I see Todd on the other end. It's just a matter of time, really, at this point. But yeah, I don't know, man. It just seems like everything is just getting worse and worse and worse. And you were really hoping that, you know, that you could find some momentum coming out of that Magic game where, oh, well, you know, Garland was terrible again, but yeah, at least they were competitive. And
yeah,
then you just lay such a big fat egg. Kevin Love's body language is terrible.
It's so bad at this point.
And I don't know, man. There's just nothing. It just feels like I'm not sure what's gone well this season all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, nothing really is, but it does also tell you some things. Like, what we talked about coming into the season was proof of concept, and that didn't just apply to the young core. It was also whether or not the veterans want to be part of this rebuild. And I think Kevin Love deserves a lot of credit for last season, being engaged, being a good leader. Even when he was out with an injury, he was doing those things. And I think both of us have given him a lot of credit for it. But it's different when you're on the court and you're dealing with these same issues and you're a part of the problem. You're feeling those losses to a degree that you wouldn't when you're sitting there in a suit. And I think it's perfectly understandable that at this point, he just kind of feels a little lost, a little overwhelmed by the state of the Cavs. And I think it's becoming clear that the best thing for both sides is to move on from one another.
Yeah, it does feel that way. But part of me is frustrated that his body language is so poor. And then part of me is like, well, you know, how would I fucking handle it if I was the only competent basketball player on a team that was doing as poorly as this and my back hurt?
Absolutely. And I think the injury is an important point. I don't know how real the quote unquote illness portion of that was.
He was listed as questionable parentheses. Chatty Patty.
Yes. And Jason Lloyd, I don't know if you saw it, he came out today basically saying it's time to move on from some of these veterans and thin out the guys that don't necessarily want to be here. And right now, there are two Cavs teams within this team. You have the young guys that need a lot of work. Darius Garland and Colin Sexton need experience running the pick and roll. They need to be taught fundamentals. They need to figure out exactly what to read. Then you have the veterans that know that stuff. Some of them have had deep playoff runs and have accomplished something in their career, and they don't want to spend the time doing that, understandably so. And that's one of those central tensions when you have two different groups of veterans and young guys. And it's understandable that there's going to be some friction there.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if it's fair to ask of Kevin Love to be some great soldier. I mean, it's been very clear that he's not a vocal leader. That's not really his style in the first place. Everyone, right. You know, it's like, it's so funny because everyone always says, like, Kevin Love's the leader of this team and Tristan Thompson's the vocal leader of this team.
I think Tristan's just the leader. Did you have a chance to read that Lloyd piece?
I did. And, you know, it didn't really tell me anything I didn't know, though. You know, I had kind of speculated that Tristan was one of the vets that said something. I still wonder if he was. But the fact that Lloyd took his Chatty Patty complaint to heart, maybe there is a world in which Tristan wasn't one of the people who talked. I don't know.
Here's the thing. I think there's a 100% chance that Tristan Thompson talked to Joe Vardon. We don't know if he was quoted. We don't
know if he was the one who's like, you can't be calling curls polar bears.
Or, it might have been an offhand comment where, hey, why is this being called polar bear? It's funny, blah, blah, blah. But I do find it interesting because I don't think anybody's going to say that Jason Lloyd isn't connected well. We have heard some rumblings that Tristan is one of the vets that actually does want to be a part of this. So I think him indicating, hey, this is a guy that you might want to look into signing to an extension when the summer comes, or I guess it wouldn't be an extension, it'd be a new contract. I think that was the main takeaway. But at this point, again, there's nobody on this roster, and that includes Colin Sexton, that includes Darius Garland, that includes everybody. There's nobody that should be off the trade block. I think you have to look at absolutely all options, because right now, I think the one thing that we can say with confidence is there's nobody that is the face of the future with this team. There's a chance maybe Darius Garland turns into a very good player, but I don't think there's anybody that you could realistically project to be a number one. And that's not the end of the world. You still have your own picks moving forward. You're going to have some high picks. And there's other ways to go out and get that guy. But there isn't a Luka Doncic. There isn't a Trae Young. And the Cavs need to make getting that type of player a priority, whether it be through the draft or through the trade market.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just looking so bleak. You know, it's like, but this is, you know, this is how rebuilds mostly work. Mm-hmm. Especially in small markets, is like you only get a chance at one guy in the first round, and sometimes you take Colin Sexton instead of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, you know? And yeah. Like, I mean, how differently do we feel if we thought more highly of Sexton or Garland was playing better?
Yeah.
Like, I really
like Shea, but that's not a number one guy. I mean, you
feel like you have a foundational piece of some sort, Lev, like, this guy I know is going to be around, and if we make good choices, he'll play for a good team.
Absolutely.
We cannot say that about anyone on this Cavs roster.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast from Fearless Sword alum, Sam Vecenie, Game Theory Podcast. I recommend everybody check it out because it was a really measured thing. And the thing I like about Sam is he doesn't just do the hindsight thing. He says, well, yeah, you'd look a little different if you took Gilgeous-Alexander over Sexton, but I had Sexton one spot ahead on my big board. But no matter what, even if you don't necessarily love the Cavs picks, there's not necessarily anybody that was picked after them that makes you think that. And
now, to be clear, what I'm saying is, if like, this is what happens where, you know, like, it is a roll of the dice, and you just hope to hit on a guy that you go, oh, that guy's got something. And
right,
like,
absolutely
right now, and I'm not saying Darius Garland can't get there, but like right now you cannot say that. And
yeah,
what that feels like is like we've wasted what 100 so Cavs games for nothing.
I can see why you would feel that way.
I kind of feel that way right now.
I think that's justified. I mean, I'm personally not there. I do feel right now that this is, and I think this is indisputable, this is a tough project to watch. I do think, even if you look last year at the Colin Sexton at this point, beginning of December, and how much fun we had watching him down the stretch last year, I certainly think there's a lot of time left, especially when the schedule lightens up, to kind of turn this thing around. I think you're going to get something for Kevin Love that's at least worth caring about. I wouldn't call it a shiny new toy, but it's going to be something at least to keep your eye on. Maybe it's a Mikal Bridges type. What I was going to get to with Sam's podcast, again, Game Theory, Sam Vecenie, I would recommend checking out because it was real fair and measured analysis on the Cavs situation. I thought this was a great point. The Bayline news isn't necessarily that concerning. This is kind of something that was a little foreseeable, but I think we're going to find out whether or not this was a Kobe Altman or Dan Gilbert hire. Because if this was an Altman hire and he completely understood everything that was coming with it, he probably had plans in place and next steps, he's going to be behind Bayline through this process. If this was a Gilbert hire and Kobe's kind of a little frustrated with what the hand he's been dealt, I think you're going to see maybe a little bit of tension start to build here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Lloyd's piece pretty much makes the case that in order to support Bayline, they have to jettison these vets that aren't on board. And you just go with the super youth movement, almost Oklahoma City Thunder style, where, and when I say Oklahoma City Thunder style, I mean with the KD Russ era, where they basically just built a college team. Like, that team had zero vets till they ill-fated trade for Kendrick Perkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, what's the big white guy? They retired his number.
Nick Collison?
Collison, that's who it was.
I always thought he looked like a bully in, like, a middle school movie.
Yeah, I guess in this version or what Lloyd was proposing, Tristan Thompson would be the Nick Collison for this era. But I think there's
God.
I think there's something to that. I mean, I think you and I both agreed that having Tristan and Kevin Love around would be good for their development if they're bought in. And the one thing that we said even at the beginning of the season is if these guys don't want to be here, you have to be proactive. You have to go and look to move them because those are the type of situations that can become toxic. So if Tristan's bought in, Love isn't, I think you explore options. I think it's good to find it out this early. I really do. I think that you have to kind of get a read of where Kevin Love is. And if he doesn't want to be here, then it's best for both sides to find some sort of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I asked this on the premium pod, but like that's why my minimum acceptable offer for Kevin Love has gotten a little lower, because it's like, well, the whole basis of my argument for why you don't trade Kevin Love for scraps is that he makes the on-court product better and he provides a template for young guys to succeed in. And if being miserable makes it so, and injured, by the way, he has a bad back. It's never gotten better. It's been bad his whole Cleveland tenure. Mm-hmm. But being injured and unhappy, if that leads to unhelpful on-court play, which you can describe the last 2 weeks as that, ever since the Miami trip, stay woke. and he's not being a good leader, setting good examples for these guys, then it's like, well, now he's just an overpaid. Like now his contract feels less justifiable, and it makes it more easy to reconcile taking just a young player and a very late first or something like that. You know, even if that young player isn't lighting the world on fire like a Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in the Bridges example, I don't know if I even need a first round pick back. I think Bridges, Sarge, and Tyler Johnson's contract would be enough for me. I'm a big believer in Bridges, especially on the defensive end. He's already proven that he's a high impact player. And I mean, it's discouraging. If in fact, John Boeheim has kind of lost some of the locker room, that's discouraging. You hope that the young players aren't part of that, but
wonder though, can I just say this? I do wonder how much of that is stuff that just comes up when you're getting your shit rocked every night.
Oh, I think that's certainly possible. And I don't think that we're in complete panic mode or anything with them. These are growing pains, and it can be a little tough. When you get older, it can be tough to relate to younger players. And when you get older, sometimes it's tough to get an erection. And talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is simple, straightforward, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction can be used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete with an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire. Carter.
Man, I'll tell you what, Justin. You know, normally I see your reads coming a mile away, and I like them. You know, the segues are funny, but I know they're coming. And as you will be as well if you get Roman.com. Yeah. But that one just really caught me by surprise. And I just loved it. Well done.
Thank you very much. I feel like with erectile dysfunction, you just gotta come in swinging.
Well, so many of those reads have, gentle language. They're not all Manscaped reads, which are all about snagging ball hairs and whatnot. but so you just kind of went in hard, and I'm using all these words with a lot of intentionality, and and I just thought it was a really good segue. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. The other thing that Vicini had mentioned as well in the podcast, and I'm hijacking some of this because he had some of my game notes that I already had written here for the podcast, which is always frustrating. But he's a smart guy, that those things tend to happen. He had mentioned that Bayline systems do usually take a year or two before everyone gets in tune with the terminology and stuff, which is a little bit concerning because
luckily NBA rosters are really stable.
Yeah, and especially in Cleveland. I don't know how I completely feel about it. I do think there is a possibility that if, let's say, Kevin Love is gone, you no longer have that mouth to feed. You don't have to think about getting him touches and whatnot, which, I mean, the Cavs haven't really thought about giving him touches this past week or so. But I do think that it helps you work on sets that Garland and Sexton will need to run. It'll help you just focus solely on the development of the young players. And if you can at least get the right voices in there, whether that be coaching staff, veterans like Tristan Thompson, another Channing Frye type, or whoever that may be, I think you can pull off a lot of the positive development that we wanted to see from these young guys.
Man, talk about putting lipstick on a pig. We wouldn't have to worry about involving Kevin Love anymore. Oh, Justin. Hey,
listen, there is always a bright side. There is always a bright side, my friend.
I don't know, man. I just think ultimately, like, the on-court product let me actually try to be a little sunshiny. It can't get uglier than this. It actually can't.
Right.
Like, process era Sixers games were rarely as bad as the last couple weeks of Cavalier basketball. So
you're not wrong.
Even if they trade Kevin Love, it's like, Who cares? You know, the on-court product isn't going to get much worse. Maybe you trade for a young guy that shows some stuff, but I will say I just can't wait for the mid-March stretch where the Cavs win 3 out of 5 games and we all try to pretend this was a fun season.
No, absolutely, and I
know that's you're going to do that. And I'm already mad at you for it.
100%. 100%, man. The schedule is going to get really, really damn light at some point. That's kind of the disappointing thing. I think when you saw this team at the start of the year, the compete level was really high. They were really battling on defense. And I think they got worn down by quite a few close losses early on. The tough schedule just didn't let up.
And just calling out, Arctic Fox, Arctic Fox.
Barracuda, Barracuda. Honestly.
Polar bear, I'm sorry. Quick tangent. What a unseemly thing to have to say quickly. Polar bear. Why wouldn't it be a 1 or 2 syllable?
Funny story. I think when Winnipeg got an NHL team back, I think we were going to be called the Manitoba Polar Bears. And I'm really glad we went back to Jets. I'm really, really glad we went back to Jets. But, yeah, I think the team lost faith. Like, I think they just don't have the same level of buy-in. And even if – okay, not even if. We are going to have a talent drop-off. Even if it was just Jordan Clarkson leaving, that is going to make the on-court product worse because he's probably one of our best 5 players, which is part of why we suck. But I do think that even with the drop-off in talent, you're going to have the schedule lighten up. Darius Garland's going to be playing better. Colin Sexton's going to get better throughout the year. And you're going to have some other young guys or other new pieces that have come in that are going to make it interesting. It's kind of crazy that we have not had a single trade in the NBA since July. Like, what the hell?
It's actually wild. And I guess it's just because everyone else got traded, like, in July. Every other player in the league got traded that month. So, like, I think that ultimately – you know, teams are trying to figure out who they have and what they are. But I do expect to see some trades. I just can't figure out what the value is sans Love. Like, Love makes sense to me. I think I've said since the beginning the Cavs are going to do better than people think they're going to do. mm-hmm. on this, because
I'm glad that that's still your point and your position on the Love trade, because I now see Zavac, who is going full. The Cavs aren't going to get anything for Love. It's just going to be a salary dump, blah blah blah. And I really, really like that you still believe in that, because you're not full Zavac yet. Maybe after you have the kid, you're going to go there. But I'm glad that you're still holding on to some optimism.
Well, it's not even optimism. I just think that's how things work. And, like, this has been a gripe I've had with NBA Twitter for forever, so I'm not going to back off it when it's my team. Like, I think that people thought the Clippers wouldn't get anything for Blake Griffin. People thought, people thought the Wolves wouldn't get anything for Butler.
Toronto got a massive return for Bargnani.
Yeah, like, when people know the person who's being traded for his name and they're well known, that just matters. When you're a former All-Star, that just matters. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we just saw, how much press have the Portland Trailblazers got for signing Melo, who is washed up?
Yeah. Like,
there is so much more. There is so much intangible value that comes with trading for guys like this. And even if their contract no longer holds pace with their production, these are the kinds of names that get traded for and don't line up statistically or mathematically with the value that NBA Twitter thinks they have. So that's why I haven't backed off of that, because that's just something that I kind of am dogmatic about, that NBA Twitter is just wrong on this.
Yeah, if I'm ranking my desired returns, I think I might actually have that Phoenix deal over the Miami one. Like, I think I'd rather get Bridges, Saric, and Tyler Johnson over Winslow and James Johnson. But I think that Winslow, James Johnson's my number two. No, Woj mentioned Denver. I can't see anything making sense there.
Well, Gary Harris sucks now, so maybe that helps.
I mean, there's no way they actually trade Gary Harris for... Well, I guess they have traded Gary Harris for Kevin Love before. It just got vetoed.
The reason they shouldn't do that is because Paul Millsap's better than this injured version of Kevin Love, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably.
Love is just hurt. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be like Will Barton and like Michael Porter Jr.
If you could sneak a Malik Beasley under the radar, I'd be a happy camper.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't believe Michael Porter Jr. is actually something that exists. But, I mean, whatever. I don't think Denver is going – Denver doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I think you're wrong, by the way, on not preferring a Justice Winslow package, because the problem with the Saric, Bridges, Tyler Johnson scenario is that Saric actually doesn't add very much value because he's a free agent and he might –
He has 2 years, I thought.
Let me go.
You double check that. But here's my logic.
Here's
my logic behind that. Saric, even though he's not Kevin Love, does give you some floor spacing there. And it also means that you don't have to start Larry Nance Jr.
He is a free agent.
Okay, well, there you go. RFA?
RFA.
Okay. Well, there you go. Getting some spacing at the power forward position is an asset. I know Nance is hitting shots, but he doesn't necessarily have the same gravity. So I think that that's kind of what I'm leaning towards that. And then also you just have way more team control with Bridges. And I think it's also an easier sell for him. I think you can get him invested in coming to Cleveland, whereas Justice Winslow, he'd be coming from Miami to Cleveland, both from a weather and team competitiveness standpoint. I think that that could be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's not wrong. I don't know. It just feels
there's no easy answer. You're trading Kevin Love. Isn't. You are going to lose, just like with the Kyrie trade. You are going to lose the Kevin Love trade.
We won the Kyrie trade, so maybe recant that one.
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
That aside, I don't know. It's a really interesting spot. I can't help but think that you really want to get a starter back more than anything.
Preferably at the small forward position.
Yeah, man, just wings. And
I desperately want a starting small forward. Like, that's,
you know what I desperately want? And this is terrible for our t-shirt sales. I desperately would love an excuse to break up Sexland.
Okay, clarify this to me, because Sexland is still alive even if Colin Sexton is the primary gunner off the bench. As long as he's still on the
is
team.
Is it, though? Is dot, dot, dot.
I will find my angles. To me, I still think Colin Sexton is going to end up being a sixth man. I absolutely give him every opportunity to prove me wrong there. I am rooting for him to prove me wrong. That'd be a lot of fun. I'm a big believer in him. And I'm on his bandwagon. But no, I think he's going to end up being a sixth man. And to me, that is still keeping Sexland alive. But I understand that you might not want to market it as such. You want to make things more difficult for yourself.
I do. That's kind of the Carter Rodriguez way, if nothing else. This is the way. And that really is going to be the – I don't know, man. What's your general state of the Cavs right now? Like, what year do you anticipate this team approaching a 41-win season?
That's a good question. The funny thing is and Cole Swicker actually said, he was kind of laughing at, I guess, some Cavs fans. I didn't really see this sentiment, but some were apparently saying after the Garland pick, well, now we're the next Atlanta Hawks, blah, blah, blah. And he's saying, well, you know, this team doesn't make as much sense as the Atlanta Hawks, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they're ready to make that Hawks-like leap. The Hawks are the only team with the worst defense than the Cavs, and they suck ass. Like, they're not good. They don't have it figured out either. I don't think that should be kind of the template. But I do think that's a good example of not getting ahead of yourselves, especially when you are banking on young players. They have good young players. They added more good young players to it, and yet they still suck. And maybe that means, hey, this team's 2-3 years away. I think 3's probably realistic, but if we could at least get to fun and semi-competitive on a night-to-night basis by next season, that would make me happy.
That seems ambitious, Justin.
You know what? I'm an ambitious guy. What can I say? I mean, that's very dependent on whether or not Tristan Thompson's still here. If Garland, how strong he finishes the season, what you get back for Kevin Love, who you end up picking. Like, there's a whole lot of things to consider. What you spend the cap space on. Are you doing the Knicks type thing where you sign a bunch of veterans to one-year deals to push that space a year further? Just signing veterans that make sense instead of what the Knicks did.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just feels like...
Get Derek
like,
Favors on the Cavs.
Yeah.
Now, this is apparently my bit.
It is your bit. I don't get why you care, why you would ever want him. I don't know. My thing is, it just feels like even if they get a foundational, like, it's super guard-heavy draft, so there you fucking go. So even if they get... even let's say they win the lottery, I still don't think they're fun.
So let's say here's my kind of take. I think if they don't get a top two pick and you can't get Cole Anthony or Anthony Edwards is kind of my preference. If you can't get him, I think this would be a great year to kind of trade out of the draft and try to get a young player that maybe some team's giving up on too early. Even if you're pairing, like, let's say Darius Garland with that pick, I would try to go hunting for somebody that's like already proven something. I don't know. Like, I'm okay. The extreme example would be Ben Simmons, but you'd obviously have to offer a whole lot more. But I'd try to trade it. I'd try to get anything proven. Edwards is my preference. That's who I'd like to see the Cavs take.
Yeah. It just feels like so far away to me, man. Like, mm-hmm.
Are we throwing a max contract at Brandon Ingram in free agency? Like,
I don't think he'll take it.
That's very possible.
I don't think that
it's crappy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just feels like I'm gonna just spend the whole year waiting for them to draft a guy and being terrified that guy's gonna bust too. I mean, like, if Garland is a bust, then we've wasted 2 full years of shit. And then we're back to this, all this pressure on this top pick to come in and be decent. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just disheartening. Like, I remember in the immediate aftermath of LeBron leaving, I kept saying, we're Kings East now. We're Kings East now. And it sure feels that way right now, that just nothing, that the path to being fun seems so far away. And I don't know. I just hope that this team can finally figure out a way to be more than the sum of its parts for fucking once.
Yeah.
Because even in the LeBron era, so rarely were they more than the sum of their parts. Like, those were ungodly talented teams.
I mean, I think we were to some extent to start the season. I think once you get...
For what, 8 games? That's not enough.
Nah, it's 10 games. Let's call it 10. But I'm just saying that I think I still have confidence in this coaching staff. I think that they... I think we have the right guys in place. I also want to state that there is nothing that can happen this season that would solidify Darius Garland as a bust. Like, if you look at him right now, without him having a good second half of the season and working through this stuff early in the year, which I'm fairly confident he's still going to do, but even if he did this, exactly what he's doing right now for the rest of the year, that's basically exactly what Kemba Walker did in his first year in the NBA. And he was 2 years older. He wasn't coming off surgery, had way more experience. It's almost identical. So I don't think that there's any way that we could call him a bust after this season. I certainly don't think that we can do that after a month.
No, and I'm not. I think that's important to note that I'm not saying that.
No, I think you are.
I'm not.
This is going to be your last time on the podcast for a little bit.
Here's fucking hoping.
I want to mislabel you as I need you to be the looming villain in the background that's not on the podcast.
That's fine. I'm happy to play that role. I think that at the end of this year, there's no way we can identify him as a bust, but we can potentially identify him as a likely bust.
Yeah, displaying the behavior of a bust.
So it's like, you know, like no one wants to throw labels on this ship, but like, you know, if he stays like at this level the rest of the year, the Cavs should probably not view him as a foundational piece, just like they didn't with Sexton. You know, like, that's just being smart to a certain point and being thorough.
Yeah, so, I'm still at the douchebag boyfriend stage of my relationship with this Cavs team, where I'm not going to throw labels on anything. But I do think...
I'll bet you were great at that back in the day.
What gives you that impression, Carter?
Your whole personality.
Just every moment that you've ever interacted with me. Oh, God. No, it's... I think these are fair points. I still am confident. As I said, I said give Garland until February. If he's still playing like this in February, I think that's going to take...
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Yeah, it's going to take some of my optimism away. Hopefully there's other reasons to be optimistic by that point. I am the master of pivoting. You heard me pivot to, well, at least you don't have to run plays for Kevin Love earlier.
I mean, you're still running the pivot of, at least we don't have LeBron anymore.
Hey.
Your very, very worst take.
You saw what LeBron was like last year in LA. That's what it would be.
Would have rather had that.
Oh, God, no. God,
come on. You God, are no. out of your fucking mind.
This is already more fun than 2018.
One good week in March last year, and you forget, hoping Jaren Blossom game can settle down and find a good jumper.
My God, Blossom game. I am entrenched there. I am dug in, and no amount of facts and reason can sway me otherwise.
Well, I'm glad you know you're not reasonable.
Hey, listen, self-awareness is a very, very important thing, Carter. It's crucial to my success. But yeah, it's, again, as I said, I think the biggest issue that we're seeing right now is the Cavs do have two teams, two timelines. We got to clean that up. I kind of expect by this time next week, so you got the 15th, a week from today, I think we might see our first move, or at least hints of that first move, who it's going to be, kind of start to transpire. I think maybe Brandon Knight or Jordan Clarkson will be the first domino to go, and they're going to take their time fielding offers with Kevin Love. Although they do need to kind of balance things so that he's not making public demands, he's not completely checked out, or getting hurt, which would completely kind of tank his volume.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my question is, by let's say February 1st, or let's say by the trade deadline, how many trades have the Cavs made?
Three.
You really think that many? I think that seems ambitious.
The only way it's not three is if multiple players in the deal.
So you think Love, Clarkson, and either Henson or
Knight
all get sent off?
Yeah, or Tristan.
I think one.
One?
Yeah, I think they will only be able to find one work. Well, let's say through the end of the year, or through the end of January, definitely no more than one.
Okay.
I think they're going to have a hard time finding deals that sound very palatable to them.
Okay, because you said by the trade deadline.
I know. I pivoted a little bit.
Because I was going to say, we should have a fun bet.
Two feels possible. Three feels hugely unlikely. So if we set it at 2.5, I'm going to go under. You can take the over.
Mets rule four in our Twitch feed said, what about the Tristan bio? Thank you, Bill Simmons, for tuning in.
I added Kevin O'Connor, and I said, just please tell your boss.
No, you called him your supervisor.
Yeah, what I don't know why I said that.
KOC is a nice guy. He seems like a very, very nice guy. I don't know why you're being a dick to him.
Well, you know what's weird about the supervisor thing is I think in my brain I wanted to like soften it because boss sounded so aggressive. Like, tell your fucking boss.
Yeah, but then it just sounds belittling. Like
I don't know.
I hear supervisor and my mind immediately goes to Archer screaming, you're not my supervisor.
If we ever get Kevin on the pod, we can do a postmortem.
I'm going to get Kevin on the pod while you're on mat leave here.
That's fine. Do they call it that in Canada? Mat leave?
Maternity leave?
Well, I know it's called maternity leave, but do they shorten it like that?
Yeah, we're efficient.
Oh, wow. You got Cliff Notes? Or whatever you call your Cliff Notes in Cole's Canada. Notes, yeah. Cole's Notes.
As I said it, as it left my mouth, I was like, ah, crap. The other thing. We've already done that bit. I already kind of opened up and pulled back the curtain to our Twitch feed here. But when I was doing the Roman read towards the end, my phone was absolutely exploding with messages. And I thought it was you being panicked that like my mic wasn't on or something. I was going to have to redo it. So it really threw me off. And it was just the Fear the Sword group chat where they were wondering who was going to do the preview for tomorrow's game, which is me. Yay.
If you'd like to explode, you can partner with our good friends at Roman.
Yeah. Trouble exploding? Get Roman.com/BlueWire. And I think that is an absolutely
fantastic. Wait a minute. Hold on. Did you guys start a new group chat without me on Fear the Sword?
Oh, shit. Hang on 1 second here.
What?
Let me pull this up. Oh, no. That is just my side group chat with just Chris and David.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm crushed.
It's not a true Fear the Sword one. It's just the three people that write for the site.
I feel so washed. I should have never quit.
I mean, it's not like you have mouths to feed or anything like that.
Nope. I'm fucking rich, biatch.
At least not yet. Take a couple walks and maybe that'll change.
Bro, so many walks. Todd's having a great time. We're in full please induce labor. Well, I'm also embarrassed because we took Friday off, both of us, because we thought it was happening. So we're going to have to like sheepishly stumble into work tomorrow, babyless.
Yeah. Well, you never know. The night is still young. Too bad there's no getlabor.com/bluewire. Otherwise, that'd be great for you.
No, I checked.
All right. Well, you go for a walk. Good luck inducing labor. All of our listeners, you guys go for a walk too. Let's all clear our heads. Hopefully things will turn around soon. It will not be tomorrow against Boston in all likelihood. I think that's a fairly safe bet. But yeah, go get some fresh air, feel a little bit better. And if you want to feel like giving to help make yourself better, you can do so by supporting us. Leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. You can also subscribe directly to Chase Down Premium. Just 99 cents for your first month. $5 a month after that if you feel the need to continue. We got tons of good bonus content there. Carter and I had our quick reaction to the Bayline and Love news on Friday. I'm going to have my rookie report out tomorrow as well. So again, just a supplemental thing. The premium feed is basically like Patreon, except it's all going to us. So we thought that we would thank you guys with some extra supplemental content for this team. But however you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. We're there to grow with you guys. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of your review for the podcast to chasedownpod@gmail.com. And we will send you a link to that Discord chat. So thanks again, guys. Good luck, Carter. And until next time, go Cavs.